Now, this last couple of weeks, I started a master's program, so I don't know if it's an unfortunate for you or a good thing for you, but you're going to be hearing a lot of what I'm reading in the next 2 years come through in sermons, because it's just like, wow, this is so good, I have to share it. I've got a couple of quotes for you this morning from one of the books I've been reading. It says this: many of us are choosing to live lives that do not set us up to pay attention. We're living lives that aren't setting us up to pay attention. And learning to pay attention and knowing what to pay attention to is a key discipline for leaders. I would go on to say just a key discipline for everyone. Learning to pay attention and what we pay attention to, knowing what that is. It's a discipline that we must have so that we don't run into the things that we shouldn't be hitting. Our life is defined by what we pay attention to. Paying attention is not something that's accidental. You don't accidentally pay attention to something, right? It's intentional. It's a skill. It's learned. Sometimes it's practiced. I don't want to be distracted by this thing anymore, so I'm going to practice paying attention to the right thing. And paying attention shapes us, which raises a very deep question for each one of us this morning. What are you paying attention to? What are your eyes on right now? And if you don't know the answer to that question, let me phrase it in a different way. What dominates your thoughts? When you close your eyes, what's the running reel going on in your head? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing that you think about? What keeps looping through your mind at night when you lay down and you close your eyes and you hear your husband snoring? What is the thing that's just playing? You don't snore, Chris. Well, I'm Catherine. You're a lucky woman. What are you constantly reacting to? Because the reality is we are paying attention to something. In fact, every one of us is beholding something, which means we're fixing our eyes and our attention on something. And the question for us is, what is it? Who is it? We come to a point in the Bible where someone points and says, essentially, this is what you need to be looking to. This is who you need to behold. And it's in John chapter 1, starting in verse 29 to 34. But before I read the text, I want to set the scene for you. See, what's happening is we have this guy, his name is John the Baptist. His job, his mandate, his call is to prepare the way for the Lord. And so he's out, he's baptizing people, he's pointing that the Messiah is coming, and there are religious leaders there who are questioning him. Hey, John, what's this all about? Hey, John, who are you? Hey, John, some people are saying that you're this guy, is that who you are? And they're in this dialogue with him. They want to know who John is. But John is like, that doesn't matter. You're asking the wrong questions. See, John refuses to make it about himself. Rather, he wants to talk about his mission. He wants to talk about what really matters, to prepare the way for the Messiah. And as this dialogue, this back and forth questioning is happening, Jesus walks by. Let's read the text, starting from John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, But he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Amen. John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus walking, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now that's a wild statement, and I'm sure the religious leaders at the time were saying, this guy is crazy, out of his mind crazy. But the reality is John the Baptist was either crazy or this was the most transformational moment in the history of the world. We believe the latter. It's the most transformational moment. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It starts with this word, behold. Now, what I love about this is that John the Baptist sees Jesus. He sees him. He recognizes him. There's something in him that says, whoa, I've got to stop. I've got to look. I've got to see this man who is coming. Behold. Then after he sees him, he says to everyone else, look, look at him, see him, recognize him, look at who he is. Behold. See, there is this inward response before there is a public declaration. John first recognizes Jesus for who he is, and then he draws others' attention to him. First inward, then public. Behold means to see, to hear, to comprehend, to understand what's happening, and then to testify. So all of those are happening as John sees Jesus coming. He sees him. He hears the words of God. He understands. He begins connecting pieces, and then he testifies to others. Look who this is. The next phrase in that verse is the Lamb of God. So behold the Lamb of God. Now this is deep Old Testament imagery of the sacrificial lamb. And again, I'm sure the religious leaders standing there engaging in this dialogue with John were a little bit confused because they're like, hang on a second. You're saying that he's the Lamb of God, but we already sacrificed a lamb this morning. We're going to sacrifice another one tonight. Like, what do you mean this is the Lamb of God? Like, we've got that all going on in the temple, right? To cover our sins. We know how this works. The Lamb sacrificed. But John the Baptist is saying, no, 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 no. Jesus, the Lamb of God, behold. He is the sacrificial lamb. He is the substitute. He is the innocent one that is offered in the place of guilt. John is announcing to everyone there, Jesus is the fulfillment of every sacrifice that Israel has ever known. It all comes down to him. John's saying, behold the Lamb of God. He is basically declaring that Jesus is going to die for others, that Jesus is going to take the place, that Jesus will be the one sacrifice for all. So behold the Lamb of God. The next phrase is who takes away. Who takes away. This isn't merely just covering sin, which is what the people of Israel had become accustomed to. That's why they had to keep sacrificing, because it would cover, but it wouldn't remove sin. But now John is saying, this one, behold, the Lamb of God who takes it away, takes it away. It's not merely a covering of sin, but Jesus will bear the full weight of sin and remove it once and for all. He carries it upon himself. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away. And the final phrase is the sin of the world. the sin of the world. This isn't the plural, the sins of the world. Rather, this is the singular, the sin, the entire weight of human rebellion placed on him, the Lamb of God. The whole broken condition of humanity gathered up and placed on Jesus. All sin for all time. Jesus is taking it away. The huge claim that John the Baptist is making here is that the sacrifice of this Lamb, of Jesus, is sufficient for the whole world. No one is beyond its reach. John is not saying, as some of us, you know, in our world, some we might have heard some of these claims about Jesus, behold the great teacher. Behold the great moral example. Behold the inspirational guy that we can look to. That's not what John the Baptist is claiming here. John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God. This is deeply spiritual, significant. This changes everything. And see, what John the Baptist was saying then and what he still speaks to us today is that we cannot shrink or twist or manipulate Jesus into something other than he is. He is not a Gumby Jesus. I know I'm only speaking to a limited crowd there, okay? But if you know Gumby, I'll explain to the younger crowd. He was this green little flexible guy that you could move and twist and he was so much fun. We don't serve a Gumby Jesus. He is who he is. So we don't get to shrink Jesus down to fit in our little narrative. Well, I only want him to be a good example to me. Or I only want him to be a good teacher. No, no, no. We don't get to do that. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's our Jesus. He is our Savior. He is the Messiah. In John chapter 20, verse 31, this is at the end of the book of John. And it says this, these are written, in other words, all these words that John wrote, these are all written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He's saying everything boils down to this, that Jesus is who he is. He is the Lamb of God. And in believing that, you will have that sin removed, taken away. You will have life eternal in his name. John the Baptist beholds the Messiah. And in beholding, he sees, he hears, he comprehends, and he testifies. But it all starts with that first behold. See him. If that's what beholding meant for John, what does it look like for us today? How do we behold Jesus today and in every moment of our lives? How do we behold Jesus tomorrow morning? How do we behold Jesus when we're at work or at school? How do we behold Jesus when we're driving down the road? How do we behold him? We do what John did. First is we see him. We look with intention. We fix our gaze. We focus our attention on him. We fix our eyes on Jesus, on the cross, on the Lamb who takes away sin. If our eyes are focused on Jesus, then that's the trajectory that we're on. That's the path that we're walking on. We're not going to accidentally bump into those things that I mentioned earlier. We're not going to accidentally bump into something because if our eyes are focused on Jesus, he is leading us. He is directing us. He is our focus. He is our all. We see him. That's the first step of beholding. And then we hear. We listen to God. We pay attention to his Holy Spirit, to those promptings within our heart. We open up God's word and we read it and we allow it to transform us. We don't let it be a Bible that just sits on the shelf collecting dust. We open the word. John listened for God's voice. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, he heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son." He saw with his eyes the Holy Spirit descend upon him. See, John not only saw, but he heard. He listened. He was attentive to what he needed to be focused on. He heard the Father's affirmation. And we get to do the same each and every day through the Word and through the Spirit. So we see and we comprehend, we see and we hear, which leads us to comprehending, to understanding, to putting all of these pieces together. See, John the Baptist, he didn't know fully who Jesus was. If you want to know a little backstory, John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. So in this passage, when John is saying, "I didn't know him, but now I know him," it was a level of comprehension. John knew who Jesus was. He knew that he was the cousin that he probably played with and, you know, maybe got into, I bet John got into trouble. Jesus probably didn't. But, you know, like they would have known each other on some capacity. But now John is saying, "Whoa, I get it. These words spoken about the coming Messiah, they're pointing to him, my little cousin." Whoa. The eyes of his understanding just opened. There was something that happened in that moment where he saw the fulfillment in prophecy, where he wrestled through and gained understanding. And we get to do that as well. We're on this journey of understanding more who Jesus is. So these three, seeing, hearing, comprehending, they all work together. They all work in tandem. We see, we hear, we understand. Hopefully each day or each new week, as you're digging into the word, as you're coming to church, there's more and more that's coming together that's helping you to behold Jesus as the Lamb of God. And from that, we testify. We testify. This is not optional. I think sometimes we think, yes, I can behold Jesus. I can see him. I can read his word. I can understand all about who he is, and I can go about my merry way and keep it all to myself. That is not what we are called to do, friends. We are called to testify of who Jesus is. That's what John the Baptist showed us in that mixed crowd. When he had skeptics, when he had people actually questioning him and attacking him, when he had some people who were probably just seeking, he testified, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is who we've been waiting for." Testifying is a part of beholding. You speak about the thing that has captured your attention. I don't know if you've noticed that, but you will speak about or share about the thing that has your attention. I want you to think, what has my attention? What have I been speaking about? What have I been sharing about? What is the thing that people would identify with me based on how I speak? What would someone conclude that Jesus is based on what you talk about the most? You cannot testify about something that you haven't internalized first. So we get to first see Jesus, to hear his words, to understand who he is in light of scripture, in light of everything that we've been taught. And from that internal place of beholding, we testify. Worship team, you can come on up. Church, what are you paying attention to? What are we looking at, even as a church? What are our eyes fixed on? What's our vision as a church? It is my desire that we would be a people who behold Jesus, who make much of Jesus, make a big deal about Jesus, right? Make a big deal about him. To look, to listen, to pay attention, to fix our gaze on him. And as we behold him, that's when we gain clarity. That's when we gain boldness. John the Baptist was crazy bold, right? He just went everywhere testifying about Jesus. Why? Because he knew who he was. And he knew that to make a big deal about Jesus was the most important thing. That was his entire job, to prepare the way for the Lord. But church, that's our job too. We get to prepare the way for the Lord, for our unbelieving friends, for our unbelieving community. We have opportunities to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We don't get to reinvent Jesus. He is who he is. Jesus is the Messiah. That truth was transformational then, and it is transformational now. Man, people need to hear the good news of Jesus. So, church, let us behold him until he returns. Let's see him. Let's listen to his words. Let's understand. And let's be a church that testifies, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.